Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. And Mike, I think good news for golfers, no snow on the ground today because it's supposed to be hovering around 50 degrees. I'm sure plenty of people going to get on out to the range or something like that on this very sunny morning here in Chicago. But that's good news. No snow on the ground. What? We were targeted for, what, 7 or 8 inches? And I think I saw 7 or 8 flurries yesterday, and that was it.
Yeah, honestly, only in Chicago can you have a snow alert and the next day be thinking about going out and hitting golf balls. Only yeah. Here.
For better or for worse as well. We had a lot of fun last week at the Chicago Golf Show. No snow there. It was a lot of fun seeing everyone there. We had a lot of fun on the show last week from the CDGA Media Studio at the Golf Show, right next to the longest putt, too, which, I mean, you heard the roars, I'm sure, in the backgrounds as our little crowd noise over the course of the show. Lots of fun being out there. It was elbow to elbow in there. I mean, I was walking around after to all the different stands and looking and checking things out. And, I mean, it was tough to maneuver in there because there were so many people. It was awesome.
It really was. The show was an epic success from our perspective. I mean, anytime we can interact with our 95,000 members in a way that's quality, cool, and different, the Chicago Golf Show does that for us. And I couldn't be more happier for Tom Corcoran and his family. They own the show. They've owned it for a number of years, in fact, decades. But the good news is they broke an attendance record that has stood since 1997.
Older than me.
Older than you.
Believe it or not.
And believe it or not, in 1997, there was a certain player that had just turned pro in the fall of 96. So golf exploded then. After COVID, our first show back, golf has re-exploded again in the way of a golf show that we had. And you mentioned the longest putt. We had 1,400 people try that putt over the course of the 3 days, and there were 19 makes.
Wow.
And the one for 10,000 finished a quarter of a turn from dropping. And I think it was the loudest groan of the weekend by far. But good times had by all. And, you know, with over 112 or 115 different vendors and exhibitors that we had there, there was a lot to do, see, interact, participate. And I could not believe the amount of bargains that people were walking out of the show with golf bags, plural.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, because of, you know, you got Mother's Day coming up, birthdays,
right,
and the whatnot. So, you know, a lot of people got prepared for the upcoming season, and rightfully so.
And you brought up, I think this is the important thing, how it was there's the COVID boom to golf, right? It was the one sport we could all kind of go out and play at the beginning of COVID. And looking at the people that were there, you saw young, you saw old, you saw everywhere in the middle as well. You saw men, you saw women. It was great to see all these different demographics at the show. It wasn't just 40 to 50-year-old men there. It was everybody was there. I think the youngest child I saw was probably, if you're not counting the babies on people's shoulders, like, there were people that were probably like 6 or 7 years old there. I saw some high school golfers there wearing their high school golfing outfits and stuff like that and logos and branding. And it was just cool to see all these different ages out at this show. Like, when I'm not going to lie, I'd never been to one of these before. I expected to see just a sea of men between 30 and 70 years old. And that was it. But that was not the case even slightly when we were there. It was really cool to see.
It is. And, you know, when the Illinois Junior Golf Association does that scavenger hunt on Saturdays and Sundays, that engages the kids. It exposes them to different products and services and ultimately other interactions, if you will. But the story of the day on Saturday had to be the 7-year-old who makes the 85-foot putt. And then about 45 seconds later, his dad makes it. Now, the odds on making it, first and foremost, is about 1%. So, you know, you sort of extrapolate that out to having two people make it in a row.
In the same family.
I'm not that great of a mathematician to go out that for, you know, that far on the decimal point. But I'm here to tell you that we witnessed something that you're probably never going to see again. And again, those are the kind of stories that come out of these type of shows. But your point about young, old, and I'd even go so far as to say there were a lot of country club members and public golfers all in it together.
Right.
And it was that common bond called golf.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun to see. Great success there. And like you said, they set their record. It's been standing since 1997. So great times at the Chicago Golf Show last week. By the way, this segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. So some big news coming out of the PGA Tour this week as they continue to revamp their format for designated events. Obviously, the big thing is that there are going to be some events with no cuts featuring 70 to 80 players out there. It's getting mixed reviews right now, but I think that this is something that the PGA Tour, listen, the infrastructure and the stability and long-term success is advantage PGA Tour. But I think when you look at some of the format things of what LIV Golf is doing, that's something that's a lot more appealing to a lot of these golfers where you know you're going in, you're getting some guaranteed money out of it, out of these events. And ultimately, this is another example of LIV Golf, just their presence enhancing the PGA Tour, which is, seems like everything's going to be for the better when it's all said and done.
Oh, there's no question. Again, it's following the same direction of the NFL and the NBA. The NFL became a better league when the XFL, the World Football League, the USFL came about, and the NFL bettered themselves through whatever innovation they had. The CBA did the same thing with the NBA, and we're seeing the same thing now with LIV. You know, when LIV, let's face it, they're innovative. Now, we may not agree with where the money's coming from and all of that, the political side of this thing, but I have to tell you, they are making the PGA Tour a better place to be. And I think for those that were on the fence on the PGA Tour, because there's many of them out there that gave it a lot of consideration to go, I think now they're sitting more comfortable with their decision. And I have a feeling there's a few guys over on LIV that are getting a little more uncomfortable with the decision that they made.
Right. And I think that's the ultimate question that we're going to be seeing, because who knows what the long-term stability of LIV Golf is going to be. Is it going to be 3 years? Is it going to be 5 years? Is it going to be next year? I think is a valid question as well with what's going on right now. So the giant elephant in the room is going to be what happens if LIV Golf folds and there's this crop of golfers, who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to be allowed back? Is the PGA Tour going to bring some of these guys back? Personally, I think we'd see some sort of ban for maybe a season or so just to send the message out there. Like, listen, you know what you did was, in our eyes, wrong. And now you want to come back. Well, we're going to punish you a little bit as a result of it. And we know how the PGA Tour operates. There's a pettiness to it all. But at the same time, this LIV Golf Tour has certainly enhanced what we're seeing out of the PGA Tour and overall has been a good thing for golf as well.
Yeah, and it has. And I think we're going to see perhaps even before the thing folds, I'm wondering who's going to be the first player that's actually going to jump off if he can. Now, I'm not privy to these contracts and what happens if one of these players breaks one or wants to leave and get out. But I think the PGA Tour, to your point, is going to put them in a penalty box for a while. And I think those that were a part of this lawsuit are probably going to get whistled for more of a major penalty than those that sort of realize, I don't know that I really want to go there. So they might just be whistled with a minor and they'll come in. And some of these guys may have to jump off to another tour for a while. But these guys have got so much money. So they might be able to just wait out their, you know, time in purgatory and then come back on.
Yeah. And then like some of these guys, they're taking the leap out of college, too. They were never technically on the PGA Tour, so they never left. per se. Like you mentioned, it's probably a little lesser of a penalty there. Also, I found this funny as well. Liv Golf tweeted out earlier this week, "Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Congratulations, PGA Tour. Welcome to the future. Hashtag Liv Golf." I saw that this week, and I thought to myself, and again, we don't see a lot of rival leagues anymore, but I can't imagine a lot of these rival leagues acknowledge each other publicly like this.
And is that the first olive branch being extended?
Maybe it is.
You know, just saying, eventually, we got to get together on this thing to make golf, you know, a better professional sport worldwide. And, you know, Rory has said it. Tiger has said it. Norman's got to be removed for us to sit down and really hash this thing out. But the $64 million question is just how long are they willing to go under the current financial makeup, you know, what's happening or what's not happening on the sponsorship side, although they did get their first sponsor in Patrick Reed's company. Mm-hmm. So things are starting to happen, but I think the next several months for Liv are absolutely critical to what is going to transpire for the future.
Yeah, I do want to go over some of those TV ratings because those came out this past week for their first event out in Mexico. But first, if you've got a thought on what you've seen from the PGA Tour changes, Liv Golf, we'd love to hear from you here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, 312-332-3776. We've got Tim. He's in Palatine. Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, morning. The only thing I have is, what is it going to be, 6 to 8 elevated tournaments like Phoenix, L.A., all that. They only have 80-person field, and what I suggest is the tournaments they got rid of in September, October, November, put those opposite of it. Like this week they have Puerto Rico, just put those opposite of the tournaments. They're going to chop 80 people, and everybody's happy. Otherwise, you get a lot of people that have no place to play. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call there.
Yeah, and you know, he's got a point. Now, the only problem, though, with that recommendation is you are now forcing these elite players to extend weeks into their season at the end of the year. That is the problem. I mean, that's a great, you know, solution from our caller. It's just that it's going to force them to play more. And so, you know, I was asked all week, you know, Mike, why are they doing this? Well, they're doing this for a couple of reasons. One, they want to protect their assets, and that's the top players in the world. And they want to ensure to the viewers that we're going to see the world's greatest playing against the world's greatest coming down that last back nine, last hole, sudden death, whatever it may be. And what does that translate to? Ratings. And what do ratings translate to? Ad dollars. And so the whole thing starts to make sense because, you know, at Honda, they played for $8.4 million. They're playing for $20 million today. And next week, we're going to bump that up another $5 million at the Players' Championship, which last year they already bumped it up $5 million from $15
million. Right.
So the rich are getting richer, there's no doubt. But there is a little bit of that exhibition flavor to it. And again, this is even before my time. But the Shell's Wonderful World of Golf. I'm wondering if this is their modern way of recreating so that we get some really cool matchups down the wire so that we are intrigued and we get to know a lot of these big names that we were talking about last week.
It brings me back to the, I think the best quote that we got out of Full Swing from Rory McIlroy in the final episode. And it was, we are the only athletes in the world that get to choose when and where we play. We need to toughen up a little bit because of that. If you want to see these expanded purses and these more guarantees, we have to toughen up a little bit as a group. I think he even said we've gotten a little bit softer as a golf community as well in terms of where we participate, where we don't participate. And that, to me, shows you everything you need to know about if you want to have these expanded tournaments and these bigger purses, you're going to need to go out and show to these advertisers and these sponsors, yeah, we're willing to extend our season out a little bit more if it means we can play for a $20 million purse in September and October.
Exactly. And, you know, it's you know, time is going to, you know, tell the story, but at the same time, Rory's right. they have to toughen up a little bit. I mean, when you watch on Full Swing, these guys traveling, you know, in private jets, yes, and they have the world at their fingertips in that regard. So I do agree with Rory, and I think he has been really a breath of fresh air, and I would not have picked him, of all people, 10 years ago to be the spokesperson, you know, the hood ornament for this thing, the way that he has, and to still be able to play golf at the level that he's doing it with all of this other distraction going on in his life. But, you know, that just goes to show you just what type of professional he really is.
Yeah. What do you think of what's happening on the PGA Tour right now with these new tournaments and purses and expanded fields and all that stuff? 312-332-3776. If you want to hop on into the conversation, when we come back, a couple of pros spoke out, some high profile pros as well, spoke out about some of the changes that are happening within the PGA Tour right now. We'll give you who it was and what they said when we come back. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Mike Gilligan with you on this Saturday morning. The CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. We're with you every single Saturday through the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. So, Mike, we've been talking a lot so far about the PGA Tour and some of the changes that are coming to the tour as a result of what LIV Golf and the heat that they have put on the PGA Tour as a dueling league, as some competition that has been brought on from a business standpoint. We're seeing expanded purses. We're seeing no-cut tournaments. We're seeing sort of the players take control of some of the power, it feels like, within the confines of the PGA Tour. All of it, in my opinion, is for better. And it kind of shows that what LIV was trying to expose from the PGA Tour, they were right. And Phil was right, and Greg Norman was right, that there is some shadiness to what's been going on the PGA Tour and how they've sort of withheld from their players a little bit over the entirety of their existence, pretty much. And it's been a good thing to see some of this come out if you're a player right now on the tour.
Exactly. I think we've gone from thinking Phil Mickelson is off his rocker to actually scratching our head saying, I think he was right. And I think these players need to wake up each morning and give thanks to LIV and to Phil and going forward with all of this, because it has, just to your point, it has exposed the PGA Tour. But I will say they've learned from it. They're adapting. They're adjusting because, again, they have to protect their biggest asset, and it's the players that they currently have. They can't afford to start losing any more top 10 or top 20 players to this thing. And as I say, the next several, I'll say, starts and months of LIV are going to be critical to whether this thing really is going to be around and have some sustainability. Otherwise, like you said, it could be as early as next year or within the next couple of years that the landscape and the ecosystem of golf is going to change.
Right. I do want to bring you some of those LIV Golf TV ratings as well. We'll get you those in about 10 minutes. But first, some of these players have spoken out on the changes that have come so far to the PGA Tour, one of them being Patrick Cantlay. He talked about on if the tour changes were due to LIV.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in general, if a company or a product doesn't have competition, the incentive to innovate is low. And so now with competition, it makes everyone want to look inside to see how they could make their product better, how they could do things better. And I think the tour has done that.
And he's right. Like there was a monopoly on the highest level of professional golf. And LIV sort of shook that up a little bit for these guys. And the PGA Tour had reached a place of complacency, in my opinion. And with the way that they had operated everything, with the purses that were being handed out at all of these tournaments as well, there was a level of complacency by the tour. And LIV has kind of given them that kick in the ass that they've so desperately needed.
Well, again, the PGA Tour was, you know, the behemoth, the King Kong. I mean, and it was not just by a little. It was far and away the best tour on planet Earth to play on. And the PGA Tour executives knew it. You know, the sponsors clearly know it because that's why they're associated with them. But you're right. LIV exposed and LIV gave them that kick in the rear end. And I still chuckle at what Ian Poulter said when he said, imitation is not just the sincerest form of flattery. It's the sincerest form of learning.
Yes.
And there's something to be said for that. So I think we're either winning or we're learning. And in this case, the PGA Tour has been winning, but now they're eating some crow, and I think they're doing some learning and making the proper adjustments. And I think, at just like the NFL, just like the NBA, the PGA Tour is going to be a better place for it, especially when you look out, you know, 2, 5, 10 years down the road.
Absolutely. So one of the other players, a guy who's certainly taken some notoriety based on the way he's played this season, Max Homa, he went on a long rant about some of these changes that have come to the PGA Tour. He started by talking, and we're not going to play the entirety of the 4-minute rant. We've got it broken up into some little segments here for you. But first, he talked on the rule changes and what fans can expect as a result of them.
The product is important. I think it's easy to frame these changes as a way to put more money in the top players' pockets, but it has been made to make it easier and more fun for the fans. I know it's a low-hanging fruit to jump on. Oh, this is just a money grab. This is to make it better for the fans. It is a guarantee on who will be at events, more or less, and leaning more on the more there. It is more opportunity for the top players to battle it out late on Sundays, which, you know, you look back at times of Phil and Tiger, the two best players, growing up for me watching, and they had like maybe two real battles. So we're going to have more of that. We just had Scotty and John battle it out in Phoenix, and that was awesome. Two of the three best players in the world going at it. So I think that's great.
And he's right. Like, what's one of the big criticisms we see, especially in the NBA, right? Load management. You don't know who's going to be here. You don't know who's not going to be here. You're going to buy a ticket to this game, and all of a sudden, LeBron's not playing. All of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard's not playing, right? And it drives NBA fans insane. Now with some of these more defined fields at some of these events, these no-cut events, 70 to 80 players, you know exactly who's going to be there when you're buying a ticket to that event. And it's going to completely shape the way that I think some golf fans and golf attendants, and he's right, you're going to get more of these epic battles down the stretch in these final pairings. It's going to be great to see, and it's more of what golf needs if you want to grow the sport, because right now sports, they're grown by brands and individuals more so than what we see with teams, right? And we can say it's the fantasy football thing that's kind of done it in, right? Where we're more attracted to the different players. We love the Patrick Mahomes, LeBron James, Shohei Ohtani's. We love the players more so than we love the teams now, especially with younger fans too, who can go on YouTube and look at all these different clips. You've got the access to any different game you want at your fingertips. And this is the perfect example. I think it's going to be great for golf, and it's going to be great for getting young golf viewers into the PGA Tour as well.
100%. You know, And I think the point about the tickets, when you buy your ticket and then you're hoping that that star is actually going to come to town and actually suit up and play, is so valid in this day and age. You know, back when I grew up, there was no such thing as load management. I mean, you played because you wanted to earn your check. Now these athletes can be a little bit more choosy, but if I'm going to go buy a ticket to one of these events and I can only go Saturday or Sunday because I've got to work Monday through Friday, right? If there's a cut and my favorite player, for whatever reason, stumbles and misses the cut, I'm kind of bummed out, not only because he missed a cut, but I spent this money with the hopes that I was going to go out there with my son or my daughter and share that experience watching, you know, my hero play or their hero play. That now goes away. There's more guarantee. That's going to allow them to sell more tickets in advance. I think it's going to allow them to charge more for the tickets. It's the right thing to do. I mean, it's golf evolves and changes just like the rest of the world, and it's time for the PGA Tour to evolve and change the way it needs to.
Anyone can have a bad nine on this tour, right? Like, I mean, we saw it with John Rahm yesterday, right? He was humanized. Yep. He goes 4 over on his final 5 holes, and it just shows how hard the sport is. And then let's say you have a bad front nine to open up your round on a Thursday, and then you're chasing the final 27 holes. You take some risks here or there. Those risks don't pay off. You find yourself in a little bit of a hole. It's tough to rebound from that. And as a result, then you're not playing Saturday and Sunday. And then a family wanted to come out and see Jon Rahm. Well, all of a sudden, now they're not seeing the world's number one because he struggled a little bit on the front nine of a tournament. And that, to me, is why this is so important.
It is, and I think your point about the brand is so true. I mean, you look at what sport does the best job identifying their athletes, stock car.
Yes.
You know, and that's almost the move that they're making. It's like, you are going to know our top 40 guys week in and week out now because you're going to constantly see the best of the best battling it out. So we will now start to think of Max Homa now as a household name. You know, where a year and a half ago, Max who?
Right.
Know, and soon he'll probably
the
have
Twitter
a nickname.
Guy?
Yeah. Mad Max. I mean, this is going to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's potentially going to win a major this year. So,
and you look at it, too. I mean, they've gone so far to try to copy what F1 is doing. They even got the Netflix docuseries, right? Like, they copied in that vein, which I love. You loved it. I loved it. Tons of people that don't even like golf love it. I've talked with people at this very station who don't watch golf. Like, Sylvie. He does not watch golf, but he watched Full Swing. He says he might watch a few events this year. And I'm sure there's going to be kids who were just perusing through Netflix, stumbled upon Full Swing because they saw a little bit of sports twist to it, watched it, were dialed into it for all 8 episodes, and now may watch a few PGA Tour events this year as a result of it. I would quickly want to take Bill. He's in Grays Lake. What's going on, Bill?
Guys, how you doing today?
Good. What you got for us?
Yeah, I'm 42. I'm kind of a golf purist, and the whole idea of the live and that experience and the players moving, I was not for it at all. I really enjoyed the PGA Tour, but to be honest, the golf has had almost 30 years since Tiger Woods has completely elevated the game of golf, and they haven't maximized the opportunity to make the experience not only for the fan, but for the players better. And I actually went to Rich Harvest Farms last year, and I had to experience what LIV was about. And I have to be honest, the experience at LIV was really fun. It was really exciting. The play was great. And I love that it's pushing the PGA Tour to make some changes. But in my opinion, as a fan that's been around for a little while, I think it's a tad bit too late, and the way they handled it was a little classless. But, you know, LIV didn't handle it very classy either. It's just kind of a big mess, but I think overall it's going to elevate the game of golf, and I would suggest before you make an opinion about LIV, at least experience it in person. It was a lot of fun. My kids enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. And I do want to get you a hat. We've got some CDGA. We got some awesome prizes that we're going to be giving out for all the years. So we'll get your info. So hang on there, Bill. We'll get your info and we'll get you some prizes sent out your way. Appreciate you calling in. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation as well, I think he brings up a good point there. Like, neither party handled this well, right? Like, it felt like LIV was the bully. And the PGA was cutthroat, or was petty, I should say. The PGA was petty, and LIV was a bully throughout this entire process. Neither of them, from a standpoint of handling this and taking the higher ground, took the higher ground, I would say. They all kind of handled it their way and the way that they knew it. And as a result, we are where we are with the two entities.
Yeah, and I think Bill brings up a great point, and it was interesting to hear that he's 42 because mm-hmm. Liv prides themselves on their demographic being 45 and under. And I, too, was with Bill out at Rich Harvest Farm, and I was intrigued. I just wanted to see, you know, what this was, golf but louder. What did that all mean? And it is different. And, you know, the taking it one way and the tour being petty and, you know, it's hopefully these two entities can work it out. But it was interesting that he has now warmed up to it. And that's what I mean by the next few events are going to be critical to the success of Liv going in the future. But one of the things that I want to call out, and I think something that they have to improve upon, is did you know that Liv was on WGN for 2 days? I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of promos, and I watch a little bit of WGN from mm-hmm. time to time, but not once did I ever see, you know, a big promo. Now, maybe CW was doing that.
Right.
The only time I see CW is at 10 o'clock watching Seinfeld.
Exactly. I do want to talk about those Liv ratings. You brought up the channel it was on here locally. It was on WGN, and the ratings are in for the first Liv event of the year. We'll bring those to you. How they compared to the PGA Tour. And why there may be a problem of sustainability as well. All that is coming up next. The segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Gilligan with you every single Saturday morning here on ESPN 1000 throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m., talking all things in the world of golf right here on your home for sports. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction. All right, we will get you some of those Liv golf ratings in just a little bit. But first, let's check in with Mike. He's in Humboldt Park. What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? I mean, just so much for that Liv Tour. I think it's a big corporate outing league. I mean, they have a 54-hole event. It starts at a shotgun start every time. I think it's a joke. And, I mean, half of them guys on the tour are pretty much done, you know, on the Liv. They couldn't be competitive on the PGA Tour. And once their world ranking runs out, they can't participate in any of the other events here on the PGA Tour. I mean, the Masters, you know, are still letting them in because basically the Masters, a quarter of that field can't win the tournament anyway. But the Masters is a great tournament. But as far as Liv, I wouldn't watch it. I really wouldn't. I don't think it's true golf. And when Greg Norman wanted them players to have a world ranking, that was a joke. How can you do it? How can you have a 50 with no cut, 54-hole event with no cut and a shotgun start? It's a joke as far as I'm concerned, guys. I wouldn't watch a minute of it. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, and Mike, listen, I get your perspective, too. If you're of the purest form and you don't see this as a way to accumulate world ranking points, and obviously it's a little bit different, but I think you have to admit that it has enhanced the lifestyle of some of these PGA Tour golfers, and I think overall, even though you may not like Liv, it feels like it's a necessary evil for the advancement of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, but you know what? Even if Liv never came about, the PGA Tour would have survived. I mean, there's a lot of people that support it. There's a lot of people that golf. And, you know, even with Tiger Rod, the game's not going to die. It didn't die without Nicklaus. It didn't die without Palmer, although them guys are great to the game. The game will never die. It'll always be here. I'm just a PGA Tour traditionalist, and I'll stick that way. I'm with McIlroy all the way. Every time he bashes Liv, I love it.
Love it, Mike. Have a good one. Appreciate you checking in with us.
Yeah, good show. Keep it up.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's Mike in Humboldt Park. If you want to jump on in, 312-332-3776. And again, listen, like, I'm not saying that the PGA Tour was spiraling out of control to the point where it was going to become extinct. No, I just think it had reached a level of complacency within the sport of they weren't looking for advancement anymore. It had gotten stale, and it was feeling a little repetitive to a degree, and I think this is going to be good to sort of mix things up. You know, Tiger and Rory are going to have, what is it, that Monday Night Golf League as well, mm-hmm. that is going to become a part of, not part of the tour, but a part of what you're seeing in the world of golf, just something a little bit different that mixes things up that can draw in some new fans as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of repackaging it in a sense in that regard, but, you know, Mike from Humboldt Park speaks on behalf of a lot of people out there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you are either on one side of the fence or the other. And, you know, it, again, to your point, it's done a lot of great things already for the PGA Tour. Now, was it necessary? No. But at the same time, it goes back to protecting the assets. And I think, you know, there's what they call defensive marketing, and I think that's what the PGA Tour had to do a little bit. They had to defend their turf. They had to defend their players and reevaluate what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. And I think they've made the product a lot better going forward. But the other thing that LIV has done, and I think Mike mentioned it, a lot of these guys wouldn't be quite as competitive if they were still on the tour. I mean, to say that they're washed up might be a little bit of an exaggeration, because they're still playing the game at a high level. But, you know, will they, you know, I think they've just, by doing that, by taking these players and removing them from the PGA Tour, they just made the PGA Tour younger,
yes,
and more fascinating. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see more fearless golf, aggressive golf by players with names you may not know today, but I guarantee you by the middle of the summer, you're going to have a pretty darn good idea who they are.
Look at how many young stars we saw emerge last year.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you look at Cam Smith, you look at Will Zalatoris, all these young guys that sort of leveled up last year. It was really cool to see. Scottie Scheffler, another one.
Oh, yeah.
Who just took their games to a new level. Mike, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you get your tickets to the Masters this year? Did you win the lottery?
I did not.
I am
Once again, I am about 0 for 32.
I am also 0 for as well. I struck out once again this year. But I'm going to tell you how you can get a taste of the Masters inside your own home, all right? We'll do that when we come back, and then we'll get you those LIV Golf TV ratings as well in about 15 minutes. It's the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. You can also watch the show on Twitch. Shout out to everyone watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Looking forward to talking with you as well. 312-332-3776. We've been talking a lot of LIV and PGA Tour and the changes that are coming to the sport as well. But there is one timeless classic, right? There is no better tradition in all of golf. And that is, of course, the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. And one of the traditions, if you can make it down there, if you are one of the lucky few that wins the lottery, is the concessions that are available at the Masters. You've been a number of times,
right?
And you have raved about the food that they serve down at Augusta. Well, now you can get a taste of the Masters delivered to you for $175. Now, some people who are familiar with concession prices down there may be saying to yourself, $175? Aren't these sandwiches $1.50? Aren't these beers $2.50? I mean, I'm looking at the concession menus right here. Soft drinks, $2. Beers, $4. You can get a sandwich for $1.50. Like, whoa, $175. Well, that is because you are getting 12 meals out of this. So you are not getting a meal for $175. No. You are getting an office catering almost for $175 here. You've got 25 souvenir cups, 12 sheets of wax paper, 12 coasters, 12 bags of potato chips, 12 cookies, 24-ounce tubs of the sandwich fillings, including the pork barbecue, the pimento cheese, the egg salad. You do have to, it's BYOB. And I don't mean beverage, I mean bring your own bread. Bring your own buns. But you can get a taste of the Masters for $175. I know the CDGA, I heard, is catering this in.
We are. We're going to treat our staff, and I'm maybe letting a cat out of the bag a little bit early, but Robert and I, our executive director, Robert Marchione, thought what a great way to treat the staff, and we were intrigued by it, and we just want to see what it's all about. So we've gone ahead and ordered it for the team, and we're going to either have a Thursday or a Friday watch party at the office. And if you are having a Masters party, you cannot do it without doing this. This thing is awesome.
Right.
And once again, the Masters have nailed it. I mean, this is so cool. And having been there, the concessions is an experience unlike no other. I mean, I think during our break, I was explaining that how much thought goes into the concessions there. On Sunday, they will not sell beer in Augusta until all the churches in Augusta have shut their doors and have checked in that they are now closed. So that means beer sales start at Augusta around 1 o'clock, and then they cut it off at 4 o'clock. You think they're doing that out in Phoenix? I don't think so.
I think you're required, like, not only do you need a ticket, but I think you need to prove you've already consumed 4 beers as well.
That's about right.
You have proof of consumption there. So, yeah, this is obviously a stark difference from any other concessions, not just in golf, but in sports in general. I think, you know, it's funny. It feels like the state of Georgia does it right. We always hear about the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, or Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I believe it is, in Georgia, in Atlanta, having cheap concessions there. And it's just reasonably priced. And they actually do better financially as a result of more cost-friendly concessions. And the Masters, I think they take this to a whole nother level as well. You can't find a sandwich anywhere for $1.50. You may not even be able to make a sandwich for $1.50 these days, especially if you need eggs. But like you do for this with the egg salad. But I think that, this is fantastic. I mean, Justin Thomas, I remember last year during the PGA Championship where he won at Southern Hills, they were showing the prices of beer and the prices of some other concessions, and it was $18 for a beer. I mean, that's more expensive than you're going to get at Wrigley.
And $19 for a microbrew.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could probably put away 4 to almost 5 beers at Augusta for that price.
Exactly.
This package, I think, is so cool. I was a little bit shocked that Augusta went this route with it, but they are going to absolutely kill it. My biggest question, though, Tyler, is how are they shipping the egg salad to us? That's going to be the $64 million question in our office.
Well, okay, so you know, like, Lou Malnati's and Portillo's around here, they'll ship. Like, they can ship anywhere. Whatever they're selling or all their famous food packages. I'm going to be intrigued. I would like for you to send me some pictures of what it looks like when it shows up to the CDJ offices, and maybe a food poisoning report the next day as well. We'll get that on the show, assuming it comes on Friday or Thursday.
Yeah, if for whatever reason I'm not here on Saturday of Masters, blame it on the egg salad.
Cannot wait. But yeah, so you know that the Masters, a tradition-rich tournament, they're never going to change these prices either.
No.
They are so dug in at this point. And maybe one day they'll look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, maybe we'll conform with everyone else, but for now, enjoy it while we've got it. And if you want a taste of the Masters in your office as well, you can get it for $175. And what'd you say? It comes out to about like 15 bucks a person, pretty
roughly.
Much.
Yeah, pretty much.
15 and bucks a person for a lunch?
Yeah. I mean, in this day and age, that's not bad.
You'll take it.
I don't know if you can go, barely go to the Golden Arches for that with a supersize.
Exactly. All right. When we come back, we are going to get into some of the Live TV ratings from last week. Their first event out in Mexico took place, and the ratings were not good. We'll tell you how they stacked up in comparison to the PGA Tour as well, and if any of this stuff is sustainable too. We'll dive into all of that coming up in 2 short minutes. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.